All right, guys, let's spend some time with the analyst. And Jason's been on the United broadcast here for the last few years. It's great to see this culminate with the championship. And Jason, I know it's been a long journey. We asked you this the other day, you know, seeing soccer at high school stadiums to see what it's grown to professionally here in Atlanta. And then today to actually have a parade. I got to ask you first before we get into some of the stuff we need to talk about our team. How did it feel for you?
I honestly can't put it into words. I took so many pictures and video and tweeted a few out and threw a few up on Instagram, and I've got more to look at. There were more people at the parade and at the rally than would go to a whole season of professional soccer back when I first started getting into it. So just to see that and be able to kind of feel it and have so many people come up to the car and, you know, just thank Mike and I and thank Jimmy and Mena for everything that they do, and thank the station for everything that the station's done for the game in this town. You know, just to be part of that, I don't know how to describe it. I really don't.
It looked great. It was fun to be a part of. Saw you guys go rolling by, and you guys from the start up there at Baker and Peachtree all the way down to the backyard at Home Depot. It was just such a collective celebration as the fans and all the support groups there on the street. Some of the shots that you and Mike posted just looked so good. Here's the thing, though, brother. Back to work. When do we get our new coach? Who's that guy going to be? Is it as reported, coming from South America?
There's a few names floating out there right now. Guillermo Barros-Skelotto has been the one that has had the most traction for the longest period of time. His Boca Juniors squad just came up short in the Copa Libertadores final to their big rivals River Plate. So Skelotto had said he's not renewing his contract. It's up at the end of December. They have a couple more matches before the summer break in Argentina, being in the other hemisphere and all. So he's a possibility, and he's a player who knows the league. He played for Columbus. He won MLS Cup with the Columbus Crew in 2008. There's a couple other names that have been popping up, though, and one is Jorge Sampaoli, who managed Argentina at the last World Cup, which did not go well, and there was a lot of talk about him in that tournament. I think he's a very good fit for a project like this, though, because he's a guy that is a better fit at the club level or a national team that he can kind of mold and fit a system around. Argentina, with the soap opera that team is, it was a little difficult for him to step in and try to fix it, and it just failed at the World Cup. I don't think he's a bad choice at all. He's a name that I keep looking at based off what he's done at the club level in the past and what he did with the Chilean national team previously.
We are trying to enjoy, and we will continue to enjoy, this championship, but that also means, you know, business has to continue. And for our soccer team, guys, they've got some decisions to make. We're talking with Jason Longshore. Sunday, we find out that they have declined the contract option of five players, including Captain Michael Parkhurst. But we believe, and I'm saying this for me, you tell me what you think, they're going to ultimately keep Parkhurst. They're just going to have a new deal. Is that what we're looking at?
That's what I would lean to as well. I don't think they want to see him play anywhere else. I don't think he wants to play anywhere else. I don't think he's in a position where he's thinking about hanging it up either. I think winning MLS Cup is energizing to him. He didn't sound like a guy saying goodbye today at the parade and at the rally. So I think it's just figuring out the logistics and figuring out the number. There is a situation going forward, though, where you're going to have to start to transition from Jeff Larentowicz, who you re-upped with, and Michael Parkhurst, who I think you will re-up with, because you have young talent coming through, and those guys, you know, have put some miles on the legs. So does Miles Robinson split more time at center back next year? Mm-hmm. Does Chris Goslin, a young homegrown player, does he start to see some time in the middle of the field, giving Larentowicz more of a spell? I think you're going to see less minutes for those two, but I think they're still very important to this team going forward.
It is our man Jason Longshore basking in the warm afterglow of our championship, the MLS title for Atlanta United today, just at an amazing time downtown. All right, what about Pity Martinez? First things first, Miggy must go to Europe, and we're waiting. When does that happen? Transfer window, explain how that works to guys who don't follow.
Well, the transfer window in Europe will open January 1st, and it'll run through the end of January for most European leagues. There's a few that the dates differ a little bit, but you're going to start hearing about that talk really ramping up now that the Atlanta United season is over and all the rumors and things will get going. There's quite a few clubs he's been linked to, mostly in England, and I'm not really surprised by England just because that's where most of the money is right now in right. European soccer. That's where, you know, he would get the biggest contract, and it's where Atlanta would get the biggest transfer fee. And that all does play into it. I think right now you're in that element where you don't have to sell, but I think Miguel Almiron does want to test himself in Europe. So I'd be surprised if he's back, but if the offer's not there, and this is where Atlanta's in a really unique position in Major League Soccer, if the offer is not what Darren Eales and Arthur Blank and Carlos Bocanegra want, they don't have to sell. And I don't think Miguel's going to be too angry about sticking around either if that is what it comes down to. But I think everybody wants to see him have that opportunity in Europe.
We're talking with Jason Longshore here on Dukes and Bell, guys, recapping what the season was, obviously, and talking about Saturday night, but also looking ahead to what may happen with our club. The expansion draft for Cincinnati is going to be at 2 o'clock Tuesday. Protecting players, how does that work, and how many guys do we potentially lose in this expansion draft?
Well, you can only lose one. So off of your unprotected list, Cincinnati can only pick one player from a team. They're going to pick five players in total, and there are a few teams that are exempt. If a player, if a team lost a player to LAFC last year, mm-hmm. that team can't lose a player to Cincinnati this year. So Atlanta United's list is out. No major surprises. Probably the one that jumped out to most people was Jeff Larinowicz being unprotected. Mm-hmm. Look, in these expansion drafts, I think a lot of times you look at the list of names and you're like, oh, that guy played 3,000 minutes. That guy scored these goals. That guy was a big, important player. What Cincinnati's trying to do, it's the same thing Atlanta did a couple of years ago. You're trying to find good contracts. You're generally trying to find younger players that you can work with for quite a while, or you're trying to find pieces that you can trade, okay. and you're trying to get assets. So you're not going to see Cincinnati, in my opinion, lean towards a player like Larinowicz. Now, a Mikey Ambrose would be a player that would make a lot of sense. He's a guy who's on a very good contract in terms of salary cap. He's a guy that's shown he can play as a starter at this in this league.
Right.
He would make a lot of sense, and he would be a player you could build around and potentially get a contributor at a good salary number.
It is Jason Longshore. We're kind of already looking ahead because, as we said, it's one of the shortest off seasons in all major sports before we're right back at it. So Larinowicz, age 35, by the way, for guys that were curious. So also the younger dudes, George Bello, we saw him obviously contribute. And, you know, Andrew Carlton. I mean, in addition to all the other pieces which may come up from South America, that pipeline continuing, we've got a real great system in place, don't we?
Yeah, that's the other balancing act for the new manager is George Bello is going to have to play next year. He's going to have to play some significant minutes. And Greg Garza, we saw his importance as he came back ahead of the playoff stretch run. So how do you balance that side of it? Carlton, if you do go get a PT Martinez, if that does happen, and PT Martinez talked about Atlanta United yesterday after the Copa Libertadores final, president from River Plate has talked about Atlanta United. Nothing's done yet because nothing's been announced, but sounds like things are moving in the right direction there. Okay, then what does that mean for Carlton? What does that mean for Barco? You know, he's going to play more minutes next year. There are a lot of talented pieces in this team, and there's only 11 guys who start. So I'm going to be very curious to see how the rotation goes next year. Do you see more of a regular rotation? You're going to have to early on because of CONCACAF Champions League.
Jason, this also, and we were talking about this as we started the show today, the idea that, you know, we scored all these goals, we set all these records, but the team could actually be better next year, right? I mean, everyone wants to come here and play. We obviously could add some additions to what we already have, but what you're saying, in essence, is, you know, with the firepower we have, depending on what plays out, again, and you talk about the transfer window, but there's a chance we could have more of a firepower next year moving into the MLS season than we had going into this year.
100%. Because you're in a situation now with what Atlanta United's built in 2 years. If you're a soccer player in South America and you have offers to go to different leagues around the world, period. This is not even a, well, you're not going to go to a top league. You players who are mentioned going to top leagues now have to consider Atlanta United as a very good destination for them to be in, because you're going to play in front of one of the greatest fan bases in the world, period. One of the biggest fan bases in the world, period. We see the numbers. They match up. You're talking top 20 attendance in the world. You're talking about playing for an owner that everybody loves. you're talking about playing for a club that you know is going to spend and bring in a top-flight manager. They have a top-flight training ground. Everything's first class. So if you're a player who could go to, you know, a mid-tier premiership team that would probably be playing in front of 25,000 fans a week, a mid-tier Italian team or a mid-tier Spanish team, or Atlanta United. Atlanta United looks really good right now around the world.
Not to mention for the South American players, a quality of life, a quality of living, because it's not the most expensive place compared to some of the things you just mentioned as well. Hey, Jason, real quick before we cut you loose, I know that Portland got snarky, their fans complaining about the travel. Well, again, they didn't win enough games. Alexi Lalas, we joked earlier, was sticking up for us. The foul which set up the set piece, because remember, set piece is not really our strong suit, and ironically, we scored the second goal off a set piece. What do you think of that?
The foul, yeah, I've seen a lot of complaints about that foul. That's, you're looking for something to complain about. I mean, I thought Alan Kelly called the game really well and didn't call a lot of fouls and let the players decide this. But that's one where Mabiala is coming from behind him. It's a high kick and he just runs over the Atlanta player. I mean, it's an obvious foul. There's really nothing to complain about. Set pieces, it's funny. We talked about set pieces a lot in 2017. This year, Atlanta United scored a number of goals off of set pieces and defended them very well. And Joseph, just the unselfishness of Joseph Martinez, nobody would have faulted him for going for a more difficult header on that near post. He flicks it on, does exactly what you're supposed to do, and Franco Escobar slams it home on the back post.
It was beautiful. It really was. Beautiful game, Jason. It's a beautiful game. Hey, man, appreciate you, not just today, as Mike and I have told you, on a personal level, all year long, going above and beyond and bringing more soccer knowledge to the ATL and soccer fans here. Thank you so much. We look forward to what this offseason brings and what the new season as well.
I appreciate it, guys. We're going to have plenty to talk about in the offseason with all kinds of things to be keeping an eye on.